Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Kathleen.
Welcome to the show. Hello, welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode.
We are here.
We are talking about sex.
But in a talking about sex.
I know, that sounds funny.
Yeah.
But in a really specific way. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, we are going to answer a listener question. We have an open question box. You're welcome to submit questions at any time. We're going to be answering a new question each week. And then at the end of the month, I'm going to take all of the questions that come into this question box and be recording a Q&A video that is going to be available in the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. You can get in the community for just $5 a month. You also get the full video of all the episodes. Sometimes we share images on here. If you were listening to last week's episode, you're probably like, what are those pictures? I want to see them. Well,
you can see all the times I mute myself to like tell my children to go away. And then
So true. Sometimes you get little surprise appearances of Kathleen's littlest.
She'll pop her little,
her tiny little head in. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot going on in the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. Link to that is in the show notes. But for the question, we have, how do you become an NFP instructor? It's a great question. Both Kathleen and I are instructors. We're instructors in different methods. There's a different way to become an instructor in each of the methods. So Kathleen, you are an instructor in FEM. Do you want to,
correct?
It's online, right?
Yep. It's online.
And it's at a specific time, right? They have cohorts of it, right?
Correct. Yeah. So it'll run for a particular period or it'll start at a certain time.
Yeah.
The way it worked with FEM was, you signed up to start. I started in like a July. It was a summer start. And you have, live, trainings every week, for, I forget how many weeks already,
probably like 12 to 15 or something like that. And then after you finish that session, those sessions, then you have a practicum phase, which all of them are going to have a practicum phase.
Exactly.
SymptoPro is an online, self-paced, and so you just sign up for it, you go through it, and then you do practicum. Billings is similar. It has like a cohort model.
Yeah.
All of these you would just find online to the method that you want to teach. Marquette, you do have to be a medical professional in order to become an instructor. I believe Marquette is also a cohort model. Creighton is the one I know the least about, but I do know it has an in-person component.
Yeah.
It's also definitely, you are going to spend the most time becoming a Creighton instructor of any of the methods. It's definitely the most in-depth.
Yeah. And I will say that in order to remain an active instructor with some of these methods, you do have to be recertified every few years. That's definitely true of Creighton. Mm-hmm. It is true of FEM as well. I'm sure it's probably true of Marquette maybe. I don't really know though.
And most of them have like a yearly fee that you pay as well to remain, an instructor. So, I mean, it's really, we're not going to go into like details exactly what it looks like for each method. Like it's really, you need to find out like which method do you want to become an instructor in, and then just go to that method's website. And literally you can just Google search it. Like, I want to become a Billings instructor. How do I do that?
The other thing that I did actually that I, when I was looking into which method I wanted to be, to become an instructor in, I reached out, I found other people who were instructors in that method. And I reached out just asking questions that I had about the process or about, you know, what it's like once you are an instructor, like whatever questions that were on my mind that I was like, I don't want to pay this if I don't end up wanting to do it. Right. Reach out, find other instructors in that method, just send an email or like an Instagram message, something, if you can find someone on there, and just ask them questions about their experience, to kind of help you make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea too. You're welcome to ask us questions about, I teach SymptoPro, and Kathleen does PEM. So if you're interested in either of those, you're welcome to ask us questions. All right. So talking about sex, and we're going to be in a very specific way, Kathleen shared something that she and her husband are doing.
Yeah.
And I literally she said it and I was like, wow. And then 5 seconds later, as it dawned on me, the implication of how they're doing this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like it took me a second to take it all in about how incredible it is. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's pretty great. So yeah. So, just the other week we had this realization that, anytime we are talking about sex, it's when there's a problem. So when we have this disconnect,
raise your hand if you're listening right now, and this is you.
Exactly.
Or this is really, really common.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. We've had a misunderstanding or, whatever it is. And it always ends up being a problem and a fight. And we're trying to get on the same page under these fiery tempers. And, it's just it's not productive. So this happened just the other week. And Michael came home from work the next day and he said, I realized that the only time we talk about sex is when we're in a place or a mood and we're arguing about it. He's like, and nothing good is going to come from that. So from now on, I want to start. Yeah. I want to start talking about sex every single day. So the end of the day, making it part of our daily routine that we are going to pick some facet of our sexual relationship and we're just going to talk about it, and not in a way that's corrective where it's I wish you would do this, or I wish you would understand this, but talking about it in terms of things that we like, things that we just don't like, right? Things that, talking about foreplay more, or, initiating more, or, ways we would like to be more intimate, or whatever it is, it can be anything. But a lot of it, I think where we're starting with it is more practical stuff, more sort of technical things, right? Or our feelings behind why we prefer a certain thing. And it's just oh, I knew you preferred that, but I never really knew why. And now it makes a lot more sense and I'm paying more attention to it. Right. So, so that's kind of been our new practice, is just at the end of every day, picking a little topic, and there's a fly buzzing. If you were in our, community, you'd see the fly buzzing around my head. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Let's talk about the implications of how incredible this is. Okay. On the podcast, we often, we often tell you, you got to talk about these things. You got to talk about sex. And a lot of times we'll say things like, it needs to be outside of the moment. It needs to be out of the heat of the moment. Yeah. It needs to not be when somebody has initiated and somebody else has said no. That's not a great time to talk because emotions are high right there. Another great time, or another not great time to talk, especially if there's maybe negative things to say, is right after sex. That's not a great time either. And so in that heat of the moment, it is so hard to have an open and listening mind. And so that's why we're look, you got to talk about it outside of the context. But then you put on top of that the kind of discomfort that we just have as a society. Maybe it's due. I mean, honestly, we see this in Catholic circles, in Christian circles, in secular circles, that there's a discomfort of talking about sex. I meet somebody and tell them what I do, and they suddenly get very uncomfortable. And that is, we don't need to get into why that exists, but you've probably been listening for a while and you're like, okay, but how do I even bring up these things outside of that context? Because we don't talk about sex at any other time except that context. That context seems like the only appropriate context to talk about sex.
Right.
And yeah, so what this does, yeah, it makes every day an appropriate context to talk about sex and in tiny, bite-sized conversations.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
And I think,
you know what this is making me think of? Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. Is we often talk about the book Holy Sex and how mm-hmm. really, I mean, that book for my husband and I, that book was a major catalyst for us being open to talking about sex and working through a lot of issues that we had. And the reason why it worked, now that like Kathleen has shared this with me of what she and her husband are doing, is because what we did was we read that book together and we read a little bit of it every night. Mm-hmm. So suddenly sex was a conversation, or almost every night, you know, you miss a night here and there, but sex was a conversation that happened every single day.
Yeah.
And in little bite-sized pieces, we would read a section of it and then be like, well, what did you think about that? What did you think? Or we'd do the set of quizzes and we'd like talk about that really quick. And it made sex an appropriate conversation topic any day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And what I love about just like saying, okay, look, we're going to talk about sex, some aspect of sex for just a little bit of time every single day. There's not very much time in between you thinking of something that you do want to bring up and the next time that you're meeting, right? So it's like, let's say like early in the day, you think of something and you're like, wow, I really actually do want my husband to understand this aspect of something. Well, you're going to talk about it later tonight.
Yeah.
So you don't have to remember for very long.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. No, it's, and like, if you're anything like me, you wonder, like, you almost get nervous. Like, you might have something you want to say or a question you want to ask or a preference you want to like express, but you get nervous because you don't know how the conversation is going to go. You don't know if it's a good time. You don't know if they're in the mood to talk about it. That's me. It was very early on in our marriage that Michael made it clear. He was like, going to bed is not the time to talk about heavy stuff. Like, to me, it's like, it's the first time we're just like together and like relaxing, where it feels like a good time to have like pillow talk, right? Like, it's like feels like a natural time to me. But for him, it was like, no, because then I'm like stressed out trying to go to bed if it's like a heavy topic. So that, like, he wasn't wrong for expressing that. That's like been something fine. But I will say that it's always made it feel, since we've had kids, right? I mean, I've had kids for 10 years now. It's always made me question, like, okay, when is a good time? Like, because we're busy here. Mm-hmm. Like, we need the kids to not be around to have this conversation, right? So,
right.
But once they're going to bed, like, we're pretty much going to bed, and then I can't talk about it. So it always makes you ask this question, like, when is a good time to talk about it? But if the habit and the routine becomes, we are going to bed, but we're just going to talk about sex for 5 minutes before we go to bed, like, it doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. have to be heavy. I think that's what he was experiencing, was like, there's this dread with going to bed and yeah. saying, let's talk, you know, because it's like, oh, you just feel like it's going to be negative. But if you change the routine to be like, no, we could talk about the positive. And then maybe sometime there might be like a little bit of, you know, not even negative, but some sort of suggestion or, you know, like expression of a dislike. Like, it's okay because it's just conversational and it changes that the cringe, sort of like the cringe, you know, factor.
And let's talk about that heaviness, because if sex is not a normal conversation that you have, if it's not something you talk about every day, mm-hmm. there is this weight to a conversation about sex.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know the next time we're going to talk about this. So I have to get everything out now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the most important things to you are going to be the negatives. Because and it'll be like, I have to get out all of these things that I need my husband to stop doing. Yeah. And I have to get out all of these things that I need him to start doing, right? Instead of, like, if it's a daily conversation, you could talk about one thing.
Yeah.
You can talk about one tiny thing and then know, okay, well, tomorrow, maybe I'll bring that up.
Yeah.
And two, like, okay, so, you know, you kind of set a time limit for it, 5-10 minutes. That's it. And it's okay if you don't get through everything you want to talk about, because you know you'll have 5 minutes tomorrow mm-hmm. to continue that conversation.
Yeah.
Right. So if you start talking about something and it does, it's a bigger topic and it's a little heavier. It's okay. It's okay to say, you know what, let's put this on pause until tomorrow, because it really is time to, we got to brush our teeth and like,
yeah,
get to bed.
Right. Exactly.
But you know, you're going to talk about it again very, very soon. And so there's no, you know, I think the dread of the conversation goes away, but then also that frustration of not getting a point across in this conversation also goes away, because you know you have time to bring it back up another day, like, and another day very soon, maybe even tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I do want to address the likely fact that some people might be listening and being like, I wouldn't even know what to bring up. Like, I wouldn't even know where to start with talking about this. Like, right. Like, I would just have no idea how to do this. Especially if you are someone who's like pretty uncomfortable talking about it. Right. It's like, where do you begin? There is a great, app called Gottman Card Decks, and they're, I think we've talked about it on episode probably.
I think we have, year, but it's like been over a while. It's been a while since we brought it up.
So we'll mention it again. So Gottman Card Decks. This is out of the Gottman Institute, which it's like Dr. John Gottman and his wife. They are like the primo number one marriage counselors in the United States, like across the board. They
secular.
Have done so many secular. Done so many studies and put out all different sorts of books and courses and things. But anyway, so they have an institute. So they created this this app, which is Gottman Card Decks. Gottman is Gottman. I'm sure we'll link it in the show notes.
Well, yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Put a link in the show notes. But they have all sorts of questions. They're basically decks of different categorized questions. And there is a specific category for sex questions. And you can go through, you can scroll, you can favorite some, you can look through ahead of time and just like say, oh, this is a good one to bring up tonight, right? Or favorite the ones that you mm-hmm. like. And it's things that start just like very basic. Like literally the first one is, how do you define sex? Clearly it's secular.
That's such a good question.
Yeah.
Like, no, but, like, but it's so good to think about that. And
right.
Like,
that's true. It is true.
You know,
Yeah. Like what is
right. We do. Yeah. We do have a definition of sex.
We do have a definition, but I mean, maybe your spouse feels like that's not the definition that's in their head. Right. And so maybe it is something mm-hmm. that's important to talk about still.
Or even a question of like, what does sex mean to you?
Like, correct. Correct. What does being aroused feel like for you? What are some of the other sensations? Right. Like how mm-hmm. what can I do to help you feel aroused? What do you need from me after an orgasm? Right. Like these are like, that's a good question.
Ooh, that's
a really
question.
Good question. Right.
Totally. So there's just bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just go through these questions, and you can go through other categories too, if you want to kind of like branch out. There's like opportunity date questions. There's like, they call them salsa questions, or I guess they're like a little bit spicier. But, so, you know, listening questions.
Who knows what that means? Empathy. I thought the sex deck would be the spicy deck.
No, they get spicier. And there's like mild, medium, and hot salsa questions. So, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Wow.
Don't know if I'd recommend those or not. I honestly haven't looked through them. But there are, and there's other apps. There's other like physical card decks out there that you could find. Maybe we should develop a Catholic one, huh? A Catholic sex questions card deck.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all stay tuned. That's all I'm going to say.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Ellen's mind is like whirling right now.
And all you have to do is like give it a little flick sometimes. And Ellen just like, she just, it's like a tornado in her brain of ideas. Yeah.
Look at all these things. Oh my gosh, we're recording this. Yeah. This podcast episode is going to go out a little bit later, or you know, a few weeks later. But like, I was just doing some question boxes on Instagram about orgasms, and like, a lot more people than I was expecting replied, and were just like, "Yeah, I don't actually know what an orgasm feels like, or I don't think I've had one." Gosh, yeah. And so now I have rolled up my sleeves and I am working on a Catholic, you know, learn how to orgasm, little mini course or something along those lines, because holy crap, you guys, mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. I did look for it. And yeah.
Yeah.
These are the things I do. I mean, I am currently in a certificate program for sex therapy. Like,
yeah,
this is what I learned.
Amen.
Yeah. And, guys, there's a way to learn how to orgasm without masturbating.
There is.
Except like secular sex therapy does not think that there
That's
is.
That's true.
So mm-hmm. Anyway, not the topic that we're talking about, but okay, let's just talk about like kind of some general categories. Maybe you and your spouse are just like, I hate card decks. Like that sounds like the worst thing ever. Yeah. Let's just throw out like some things, like some topics that you can kind of bring up. So, initiating would be a great one mm-hmm. to talk about. Well, how do you like to be initiated to? What do you think initiation should look like? That's a great, great conversation. Foreplay, you know, what do you like in foreplay? What do you not like in foreplay? Orgasms, what does an orgasm feel like? Maybe have you ever had one?
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing. Talk about like timeline. You know, how long does it take you as the woman, to get aroused? Like, are you having an orgasm during penetration? Mm-hmm. Is it happening before? Is it happening after? What's that timeline? I can tell you research. When they have tried to research the timeline for women, they can't give a number because it is too varied.
Yeah.
But for men, it's 4 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
But it's too varied. It's too varied for women that they can't. I mean, they'd be like anywhere from, you know, 4 to an hour. Like it's yeah, too varied
yeah.
to give an actual like estimate. So whatever your timeline is normal.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But like figure out what that timeline is for mm-hmm. you.
100%.
You know, something that has happened in a past sexual encounter that you liked, maybe something that has happened that you maybe didn't like. It's great to talk about those things out of that context, right? Mm-hmm. And this is that great conversation out of the context. You know, things that you have asked for in the past, but like explain the why behind it.
Yes.
So if you have said, hey, I want you to initiate like this, mm-hmm. like explain why, like, you know, what does that make you feel like when your husband initiates like that? And, you know, how does it make you? Yeah. I mean, really, how does it make you feel?
yeah. I can even say like, you know, one of our conversations that we just had was like regarding lingerie, right? And like I have a preference for what I kind of like, and like it's not like my husband doesn't like it, right? He's like, yeah, that looks great. But I actually learned that the style that he prefers is not the style that I typically buy myself. So you know, again, it's like something that's just like, wow, I never knew that, and like I can do something about that now, you know? And he right. explained why he likes that style most. And it was just like, oh, okay. Makes sense. Like why almost 11 years of marriage, have we never known that or talked about that before? Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. You know, grooming, talking about, what you like and dislike about mm-hmm. grooming of the, you know, pubic hair area, or legs too,
yeah.
you know, some, you know,
anywhere.
But yeah, like preparation for sex, like preferences on preparation. Do you like your spouse to be showered? Why do you like that?
Do you like them wearing perfume or cologne or, you know, like mm-hmm. anything? Yeah.
Environment, would be a great thing to talk about. Do you like music? Do you like candles? Do you want to try something new? That would be a great thing to bring up in these conversations. And it doesn't have to be like a new sex position. Like, I want to try something new. Like, I want to turn the lights on.
Yeah.
Or I want to turn the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to have candles. Or I want to have music. Or I want to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or try a different kind of music, right? Like, it doesn't, trying something new doesn't have to be like spicy, kinky. I feel like people are always like, oh my gosh,
I
don't want to try something new. Yeah. It's like, no, trying something new can just be like,
right,
I want a light. I want the whole room to be filled with candles. Like, how fun would that be?
That'd be pretty fun.
Right? Yeah. Like, get like, go order like a whole bunch of tea lights, right? And light all 100 of mm-hmm. them. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. Yeah.
Actually, it'd be warm.
Yeah, that's true too. Even like
a good thing. Maybe save that one for December.
Yeah. Even like when you have like the jarred candles and you have like two lit in the room, like maybe one on either side of the bed, it still gets pretty hot. It's
like, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, those are kind of those are the things we're talking about, like bringing and just bite off a tiny bite.
Yeah.
Because once you have established this routine of talking about sex every day, then you don't have to cover everything
mm-hmm.
in each conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a step back for a second though and talk about, okay, so you're listening to this and you're like, wow, this sounds great, Ellen and Kathleen. I am like totally on board. How do I broach the subject of doing this every day?
Yeah.
like, wait a second. I still have to like break the ice here.
Right.
And yeah. somehow broach yeah. the subject. I mean, and that's kind of the thing is you will need to break the ice, I think, mm-hmm. on this. Use us as an excuse. Hey, I was listening to this podcast and this woman like does this crazy thing with her husband. And I thought maybe like we could try talking about sex every day. Right.
Yeah.
Or like download the card deck and mm-hmm. maybe ease into it and say, hey, I would like to spend 5 minutes every day, talking about like answering one of these questions, right? Start with an yeah. easy deck. And then after you've established the routine, say, hey, there's this deck about sex. Like let's give it a try.
Yeah.
That might be like an easy way to kind of ease in. I don't know what else.
So I want to make a recommendation that some people might be like, oh, that's ridiculous. But something that has worked for us in the past, if we have something that we really feel like we need to talk about, but you're kind of nervous to, or you feel awkward and you don't really know how to do it, believe it or not, like we have sent emails to each other before because it just feels a little bit easier. And it's a way where you can really make a case for yourself. Like you can think it through,
yeah.
type it out, go back and like make sure you are clear, like edit what you need to, right? And then, and make it very complimentary, like, and then they can sit down and just read it. And then always make sure you end it with like, let's talk about this when you get home, right? Or like, let's yeah. talk about this tonight. You know, but you've kind of made the case, you've laid it all out in a way that doesn't feel like you're kind of on the spot and feel really awkward. It's just a nice way to ease into it, but then make sure you mm-hmm. end with a clarity of, let's talk about this more tonight.
Yeah.
Could be a nice, easy way to kind of do it.
I love that. I mean, I think email and like texting mm-hmm. are sometimes really nice ways to kind of jump into a difficult topic. Because like it can be embarrassing. It can be uncomfortable.
Right.
But I really like the email here because you might want to kind of make a larger case for it than like a text.
Right. Exactly.
Message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so emails are kind of easier to,
yeah,
you know, really think it through, type it out, things yes. like that.
So. Agreed.
Love that.
Yeah. There yeah. you go. That's my 2 cents.
Well, with that, we hope you guys start talking about sex.
Yes, we do. Do it now. Do it tonight.
Go talk about sex tonight.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.